Insights on Air by Barrels by Alex Partners.
Welcome to Insights on Air by Barrels, the podcast that looks at how the mobility industry is transforming and what it takes to stay ahead. Today, we're talking about future sales, how automotive marketing and sales are evolving under the pressure of electrification, digitalization, and shifting customer expectations. Joining me are two experts who know the system inside out. Arthur Kipferler, partner and managing director at Barrels by Alex Partners, who has spent over 30 years in the automotive world, from Toyota and BMW to Jaguar Land Rover, before joining Barrels. Arthur covers all aspects of going to market, from product portfolios to retail. And Jonas Wagner, also partner and managing director at Barrels by Alex Partners. Jonas is a trusted advisor to global automotive leaders for more than 20 years, specializing in data-driven sales, omni-channel customer journeys, and large-scale organizational transformation. Hello, Arthur. Hello, Jonas.
Hello.
Hello.
So, a short personal question before we dive deeper into the topic. If you had to describe the state of automotive sales in one word right now, what would it be and why?
I would choose two words, refocus and agility. A lot of things have to turn and you need to be fast.
For me, it's an accelerating evolution. Change has been with us for quite a while, for decades, I would say, but it is definitely accelerating.
Arthur, the report starts with a clear message. Dealers are here to stay. Even though many OEMs have tried direct-to-consumer models, by 2030, only about 10% of all new car sales will happen that way. Why has going fully direct turned out to be more difficult than expected?
Yeah, when brands try to manage everything themselves, it often created more complexity and higher costs instead of efficiency. That is because selling cars requires complex channels to reach private and business customers everywhere in the world. It entails not only selling cars, but also after-sales services and financial services. It therefore requires a vast and highly capital-intensive physical infrastructure and numerous employees. Having third-party investors sharing this load is really critical.
Okay, so the answer isn't direct or dealer, but something in between. Jonas, how do you see that hybrid future working best?
As Arthur described, hybrid models, they allow OEMs to keep the control and transparency. But they should watch out. The dealers, they need to stay the trusted human touch point that cannot be replaced. So it's about defining the cooperation in a new way, not really replacing the one side or the other. And most importantly, really sharing customer data and I would say trust.
So human connection seems to stay critical even as everything becomes more digital. How important is personal contact still for customers today?
Consumers usually make a really big financial decision when they buy a car. It is therefore really understandable that they want to have a real business partner for that transaction in the form of a local company with a building they see and people in it that they can interact with. And very importantly, where they can return in case they have any problem with their vehicle after the purchase.
All right, so the report also highlights the role of artificial intelligence. It says AI could unlock up to 6.2 billion euros in annual cost savings for the 12 largest OEMs. Jonas, what kind of improvements are we actually talking about here?
So AI helps make marketing and sales more efficient. Oh, that's from media budget optimization to attract the right target audience, lowering the cost. As we all know from Gen AI, generated content also for really professional advertising, and at the end helping increase the conversion through really smarter, always available assistance. So that means on the other side, automate your routine work in a sales process, lower costs, and yeah, support also making better decisions when it comes to product pricing, selling.
How do you see that balance between human and machine in sales, Arthur?
Yeah, it's really about balance. While looking for efficiencies in AI is a great shortcut for many steps on both sides. OEMs and dealers can analyze data much faster, act faster, make better offers. Customer can speed up their research and then ultimately make a much more educated purchase decision. But AI will not replace a test drive, And it will definitely not replace the relationship with people who represent the brand. The technology must help to support building trust, but it will never replace it.
Your report says clearly, adoption of battery electric vehicles still faces barriers, mainly high prices and low residual values. Arthur, why aren't incentives enough to solve that?
Well, first of all, incentives are most often temporary. But we're here on a very long-term transition, which obviously then requires very long-term solutions. The incentives usually address only symptoms, but never eradicate the underlying root cause. And let's not forget, as the electric vehicle mix grows, we have to convince increasingly skeptical consumers. That means the hurdle is also getting ever higher. And therefore, affordability over the long term and a sufficient charging infrastructure remain key elements to increase electrification.
And Jonas, from a sales and marketing point of view, how do you communicate with customers when incentives alone won't convince them anymore?
I think in general, we need to move away from a disadvantage mitigation, range anxiety, you know, all these negative thoughts we have when we move to BEV, to a really benefit and also emotional and fun communication. Whoever drove BEV for the first time is amazed about, on the one side, the acceleration, and the other side, the comfortness and the seamlessness. So we need to create emotional stories and emotional bonding with BEV. And then also the skeptical customers, Arthur said, will gradually be convinced.
And another key insight in the report, when OEMs manage vehicle lifetime better, they can increase profit potential by up to 1.5 times. Jonas, what does that mean in practice?
Well, it means the real opportunity lies after the first sale. It's service, it's maintenance, financial service, all the touch points that you create to really engage in a customer retention. We have defined this as a vehicle lifetime value, and that's where the 1.5 times profit increase comes from. Staying with the car, with the first, the second, and hopefully also the third owner, and really be a companion.
You've worked with global OEMs for years, Arthur. What do they need to do to capture that value?
It really starts with paying more attention to it. For car makers, the used car business is too often an afterthought, and then the used car teams are under-resourced. The car's life after the warranty period must also become a much more important element of the collaboration with dealers, and the captive finance unit must provide competitive products also for that business, and so on. This is a growth business for the OEM and their networks, and it must be treated accordingly.
And the report closes with a look at structural change. It says established OEMs must adapt their sales organizations to new market conditions. With up to 12,000 jobs affected by digitalization and shrinking volumes. What does this transformation look like from the inside, Jonas?
Well, it's not an easy decision to make, but it's about adjusting really the structure that have grown over decades to fit that new environment. We've always profited from growing volume. That's not going to happen anymore. Mid more digital channels come that replace or, of course, add new touch points. And at the end, it's all about efficiency and effectiveness. Right sizing doesn't just mean cutting the people for sake of it. It really means to realign the skills, maybe insource certain activities with the help of AI and really adjust it to what is required to stay competitive.
Arthur, you've led large teams through change before. What's most important when a company faces this kind of transformation?
For me, there's not one most important thing, but several. First, I try to get it over as fast as possible. A painful end is always better than pain with no end. I will try to use it as an opportunity to refresh and to upgrade the organization and the teams. And thirdly, I would leverage all the help I can get. Cutting is painful and causes injury, but digitalization and automation make life easier for everybody involved, and the organization will emerge much stronger and happier after such a change.
When you take all those developments together, hybrid models, AI, electrification, lifetime value, and structural change, what does the future of sales look like to you?
Well, it's refocus on what really matters. You cannot afford to fund everything. Automation of what's repetitive is key. Refocus on the essentials also related to your brand, and that can be very different. And a closer collaboration with the one that for certain touch points really hold it with the retailers. So have a joint view on the customer and trust each other.
Artur?
Yeah, I'd say don't be afraid. Remember, our part of the industry has evolved and changed steadily over the last 30 years I've been in it. Change is part of our life, so welcome it, spot the opportunities and go for them to create new success. There won't be a steady state ever again.
So thank you both for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you want to discover more insights in the State of Automotive Sales and Marketing report by Barrels and Alex Partners, check barrels.com.
Barrels by Alex Partners. The expertise of our top management consultants extends across the complete value chain of automobility, from long-term strategic planning to operational performance improvements. Based on our automobility thought leadership, Barrels by Alex Partners stand out with their broad experience, their profound industry knowledge, their innovative problem-solving competence, and last but not least, their entrepreneurial thinking. Thanks for listening, and until next time.